everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm Jace. A lot of big changes with the new year here at the Comic Source. As I've been talking about for quite a while, we're about to partner up full-time with LRM Online. That should be coming here in the next couple weeks. So it's going to be a new schedule, a new format. There's going to be more episodes, more content for you all to enjoy. Every Sunday is going to be Valiant Sunday, and this is the first episode of that spotlight. And in this Valiant Sunday spotlight, I'm going to be talking about Bloodshot Reborn. So for those of you who want to kind of get a jump and understand exactly what the new schedule is going to be sure you tune into our exclusive podcast for LRM Online that comes out every Tuesday, the 9-panel grid. Manny and I will be talking about the new schedule and what you can expect. And if you have any ideas moving forward, any comments on the new system and the new schedule and the new way things are going to work, we certainly want to hear from you. So as I said, this first Valiant Sunday podcast episode is going to be all about Bloodshot Reborn. So for those of you not familiar with the character Bloodshot, just a real brief overview. He was created back in 1992 by Kevin Van Hook and Yves Goucher for the original iteration of Valiant Comics. His first appearance was in Rye number 0. And for those of you not familiar with the first go-round of Valiant, Rye 0 was an interesting book at the time. It really was kind of like a flash forward, and it gave a lot of the Valiant fans, it was a huge popular issue because it gave a lot of the Valiant fans, and it was a rabid fan base at that time, it gave them a glimpse into the future. So it was a very highly sought after issue. It was worth quite a bit monetarily, and that's where we first saw Bloodshot appear. And in fact, Rai, short for Samurai, he had a connection to Bloodshot. He had Bloodshot's powers, it seemed, and so there was always a clear connection between the two, with the red circle in the chest of both heroes, and it was kind of a like an ongoing mystery of the original Valiant Universe, how these two characters tied together over thousands and thousands of years. So Bloodshot, for those of you not familiar, is all his skin looks white, his eyes are red, he has the ability to heal from massive amounts of physical damage, and this is all due to nanites, and those are microscopic machines that live in his bloodstream. So they can repair damage, they give him enhanced senses, enhanced reflexes, super strength. They even give him the ability to manipulate kind of the protein of his body, the musculature and the appearance of his skin, and that allows him to change his appearance for very short periods of time and camouflage himself. The trade-off to all this is that these machines require sustenance, right? Like protein to build and rebuild and you know, make changes. And if Bloodshot doesn't consume enough protein, these machines will literally start eating him from the inside out. We've seen instances in the past where there just hasn't been enough protein to keep the machines going, and they'll basically let one limb kind of wither away to keep the rest of him strong until he can get a big, massive infusion of protein, whether that be a cow or a shark or whatever, just, you know, meat, whatever the nanites can consume to then perform their functions. So in specifically this episode, as I said, is about Bloodshot Reborn. This series lasted 18 issues. And it spun directly out of the Valiant miniseries, which is a 4-issue miniseries. And for any of you that are out there listening who aren't familiar with Valiant, this new iteration, you were fans of the old Valiant, or you just are discovering Valiant for the first time, or you don't know anything about it, The Valiant, that 4-issue miniseries, which is also available in trade now, is a perfect place to start. Just about every major character of the new Valiant universe up to that point gets a chance to shine, at least for a few pages in this miniseries. It's a great introduction to the universe. It's always one I recommend to someone who kind of wants to get a handle on what's going on and be introduced to the characters of the Valiant universe. So in that miniseries, the antagonist is a villain called the Immortal Enemy, who, as the name suggests, has been around for an extremely long time. And there is a character named Kay McHenry. She's what's known as a geomancer, kind of like the voice of the Earth. She's very connected to the Earth and its ecosystem. And this eternal enemy is trying to kill her. Bloodshot is charged with protecting her. And ultimately, things don't work out the way Bloodshot would like. But in the end, despite his seeming defeat, Kay gives him a gift, and that is to release him from the nanites. Because in this most current version of Bloodshot, Bloodshot himself doesn't have memories of who he was initially before he was infused with these nanites. He was working for an organization called Project Rising Spirit, kind of as a Terminator-like character, if you will, with implanted memories. And they basically would erase his memory after each mission, implant him with new memories that they felt were most appropriate and gave him the best chance to succeed in whatever mission they were about to send him on. So if they were sending him out to, fight against terrorists in the Middle East, they might give him a backstory that, you know, his wife and children had been killed by a terrorist bomb. If they were sending him to, after drug dealers, let's say, they might give him memories of a brother who overdosed, things like that, right? So each time his mind was wiped clean and he was sent out with these new memories and basically just point and shoot. A point-and-shoot weapon for PRS. So this version of Bloodshot doesn't have a real handle on who he is, but he's managed to break free from the PRS programming, and he went on the run for a while, and he's kind of tried to stop being just a mindless killing machine and kind of be his own man. So at the end of the Valiant miniseries, Kay McHenry, as I said, gives him a gift, and that is she releases him from these nanites. And that's where we pick up with Bloodshot Reborn. So he's chosen the name Ray Garrison, which is one of the implanted identities that PRS had given him from time to time, and he wasn't even sure himself why he chose that. He just needed a place to go and start over, and he chose Colorado, this kind of a flea bag motel, and he gets a job there working as kind of the handyman. And when the woman asks his name, Ray Garrison name just kind of pops out, and that's what he chooses to use. The problems that he has adjusting to real life is that even though he doesn't have the nanites anymore, he still seems to have some remnants, some effects, or side effects, if you will, that are left over from them. And he has a lot of the memories of killing people. So he kind of turns to drugs and alcohol to kind of drown out all of this killing that he did, not to mention the guilt he feels over his failure to protect Kay McHenry. So that's kind of where Bloodshot Reborn starts. The first arc is called Colorado. It runs through issues 1 through 5. And I should say, before I go any further, that the entire 18-issue run of Bloodshot Reborn is written by Jeff Lemire. And there's a variety of pencilers and inkers and colorists. And I'll just run down the creative team real fast. And again, this is in no particular order, but all of these creators have had a hand in the Bloodshot Reborn series. So, as I said, written by Jeff Lemire, Ray Fox, and Michelle Fief do some writing in the annual. Pencilers on the series, this includes issues 0 all the way through 18, and the annual. Pencilers include Renato Guedes, Miko Suyan, Jeff Lemire himself, Raul Allen, Patricia Martin, Jackson Geis, Louis LaRosa, Tomas Giarello, Cano, Benjamin Mara, Joe Bennett, Bellardino Brabo, and Jay Fabris. Inks are mostly handled by the pencilers themselves. The artists, for the most part, ink themselves, but there are some issues inked by Tom Palmer. And colors are handled by David Barron and Brian Ribert. So it's a big laundry list of creators, I understand that. But when you think about the driving force behind this version of Bloodshot and kind of the path he's currently taken for the past couple of years and even into his current series, Bloodshot Salvation, it's really Jeff Lemire who's kind of driving the bus here with these incredible artists that I mentioned. And kind of the reason there's been so many artists is because when you look at artists like Miko Suyan or Louis LaRosa, their art is so incredibly detailed. You know, they do a four-issue arc, and that might take them, you know, 6 months, if not longer, just because the art is absolutely spectacular. Some of the others that I mentioned, Raoul Allen filled in for an issue with Patricia Martin. Jackson Geist did a four-issue arc. Louis LaRosa, as I mentioned, did a four-issue arc, and then some of the others just did one story in the annual, but it's good work. I wanted to mention it. So getting back to that first story arc, as I said, Colorado, issues 1-5 of Bloodshot Reborn. Jeff Lemire, the writer, Miko Suyan, this is kind of his first arc that he does, these first five issues. And as I said, Ray Garrison, the name Bloodshot's taken, is kind of in hiding, trying to run away from his past, start over. But at the same time, when you think about what he's chosen to do, I mean, he's basically drinking himself to sleep every night, using drugs to try to forget, in this flea bag motel in the middle of nowhere. And you want to talk about starting over, I think Lemire's done a great job of showing what kind of a wounded person or incomplete or broken person he is, because, you know, here he has a chance to start over. And I understand he's not in a, you know, great position, being that he doesn't really have an identity. He can't just go and, you know, get a regular job with, you know, he doesn't have a driver's license, all that kind of stuff. But the way he chooses to just crawl in a hole and kind of hide, it's certainly not what you would think of as a fresh start, right? You know, he came to Kenry, released him from these nanites, and instead of trying to build something up, he just goes into hiding. So again, it goes to his state of mind, it goes to kind of the brokenness of the situation he's in. So I like that Lemire kind of starts him off here. It's a really great choice, and right away it paints Ray Garrison, Bloodshot, as kind of this tragic figure. But at the same time, we as the readers can't necessarily identify with where he's at. I mean, we kind of understand, and that's through the incredible emotion that Miko Suyan puts in the face of this tortured Bloodshot character, and also in kind of the self-reflection that Jeff Lemire puts in the story through dialogue boxes and getting us inside the head of Ray Garrison. But at the same time, as the reader, you're kind of like, okay, dude, you have a chance to start over. You can kind of build yourself up. You know, yeah, you might have to start out in hiding and, you know, kind of build up some resources and everything, but you can make choices that kind of pull you out of the darkness. But instead we see him make choices that kind of keep him wallowing in the darkness and, you know, down hiding in that hole. And it makes you start to question, is Bloodshot a hero? I mean, you know, supposedly this is a superhero comic. Is he a hero? Who is he really? You know, there's that mystery in the background. But what I love is Lemire doesn't let him wallow too long, because right away we find out toward the end of the first issue that there are other what they call red circle killers out there, starting with kind of this mass shooting in Colorado. And the pictures that Bloodshot sees, or Ray Garrison sees on TV, is, you know, a man with pale skin and a red circle. And so it becomes clear right away that these nanites that Kay McHenry released him from didn't just evaporate or disappear. They have gone to take over other people apparently with violent tendencies. And for whatever reason, Bloodshot or Ray Garrison was able to control the nanites much more so than when they go and seem to be infecting these other people, because invariably these seven people ultimately that get infected with the nanites, none of them are able to handle the nanites. They all kind of resort to violence. So it's an interesting take. Again, it makes you wonder, so did the nanites just pick these people at random? And because the nanites were in Bloodshot when he was controlled by PRS, and basically they learned, they were trained to become violent, or did they just pick people that happened to have violent tendencies already? Like, that question is never really answered, but it is an interesting one to think about, and I do kind of wish that we got a little more clarity on that. So issues 1-5, as I said, the Colorado arc, it's kind of Ray Garrison going out and looking for these characters, these people who've been infected with the nanites, and taking them back. And at the same time, you know, he's questioning, is he a hero? Is he a good person? In some ways, it's kind of obvious that he is, because he is making a sacrifice, you know. Despite the fact that he was free from these nanites, he realizes that as he goes and takes them back from these people, that eventually he's going to become Bloodshot again, which, you know, kind of like the Hulk, right? Like all David Banner wanted to do, or Bruce Banner wanted to do, was be cured, right? He was constantly searching for a cure. So here's Bloodshot. He was searching for a cure, a way to be rid of the nanites, a way to be a man again. But he realizes that he's the only one that can control these machines, and so he's taken it upon himself to go and take them back from these people. And he knows once he gets to a certain point, he's going to reach that tipping point, so to speak, and he's going to be more machine than man again. And so he's being pursued by a couple of FBI agents. They're interesting characters. Lemire does a great job of kind of delving into what makes them tick, and giving us as readers kind of a viewpoint in to their world, and from their perspective, you know, who is Bloodshot, who is Ray Garrison. Right away they catch on to the Ray Garrison name, and so it's done relatively well. The second arc is called The Hunt, and that covers issues 6 through 9. And at this point, what happens is Bloodshot becomes aware that one of the other people that's infected with the nanites realizes that he can become more powerful as well if he goes out and basically collects more nanites, right? So it's what he's been doing all along. Ray Garrison's been doing all along. He's been going out and collecting the nanites from the people that can't control them. And then he realizes that one of the others also has made this realization and is out there hunting others that have nanites so he can become more powerful. So, and again, the FBI agent, specifically Special Agent Diane Festival, who's a very, very young FBI agent profiler who seems to have this preternatural instinct to make these leaps of logic, kind of see things before they happen or see things as they happen. So she's got a partner who's very seasoned and been around the block and doesn't go in for all this supernatural mumbo-jumbo called Agent Hoyt is his name. So those two are still pursuing while Ray Garrison Bloodshot is out there basically becoming less and less human as he takes these nanites back. He meets a young woman named Magic, and we can see that there's a connection between the two of them, but Bloodshot is reluctant to take her on. He wants to protect her. He wants to be with her and have her, you know, kind of share his life. But at the same time, because he does legitimately care for her and genuinely care for her, he doesn't want her around because he knows that just like Kay, she's vulnerable to being hurt just by being near him. So there's that struggle as well. And eventually the Bloodshot basically rounds up all the nanites. He's able to stop the last person, the other one that was out there hunting for other nanites. He stops that person. I don't want to say who it is. I don't want to spoil it. Leave something for you readers to discover. But it's not all wrapped up in a nice, neat bow, which is something that I like that Lemire does. There's a lot of questions left to be answered. Specifically, even though Ray Garrison Bloodshot had a file that was obtained from PRS that gave him a chance to know who he really was before, he chooses not to read it, chooses to let go of the past and try to move forward. So that was interesting to me, an interesting choice. I don't know if it was believable, just for the fact that Bloodshot had been searching for who he was for so long, and he finally had the answer in his hand, and then to see him, you know, basically destroy it and not have the... He did have Magic read it, so he could always ask her who he was in the long run if he really wants to know. But I don't know, that kind of didn't necessarily sit well with me. And the other thing that the other small criticism I'll say about the first 9 issues, you know, they're divided into 2 arcs, Volume 1 being that Colorado, numbers 1 through 5, and then The Hunt being 6 through 9. And I know this partly has to do with the art, because as I said, the art is absolutely stunning. Miko Tsuyen for the first five issues, and then Butch Geist for the next four. They both do a great job, especially of conveying emotion. And the Miko Tsuyen art is stunning in its detail. But the one complaint I would have is, because it's so good, they have a tendency to use a lot of big panels. And then that makes for kind of a short read sometimes on the stories. And I just feel like those first nine issues, we really only got about six issues worth of story. And so you look at that, you're like, nine issues, that's getting pretty close to the first year of Bloodshot, but all we got was basically one story arc. I know it's divided into two, but it's just so good. You really want more. You wanted it to last a little longer. And, Jeff Lemire does a good job with the real estate that is in those nine issues of giving us character development, but I'm just left wanting more, which I suppose is, you know, a good problem to have. But I just feel like, and maybe this just goes back to me being, growing up reading comics from a different era where there was a lot more dialogue on the page, whether it be exposition or dialogue boxes or what have you. You kind of got a little more meat on the bone, so to speak. So certainly a gorgeous book. You know, back then the artwork was nowhere near as detailed or as beautiful as it is now. Not to say today's artists are better or worse, but the printing quality is better. The colors by David Baron really helped set the mood. The guy's an incredible colorist. So all those things, along with better quality paper just make for better art. It's that simple. And I tend to read most of my stuff digitally these days, just for ease of use. You know, it's easy for me to just finish one issue and go right to the next, as opposed to having to put it back in the bag and board and all that stuff. So it's just a different era, and I understand that. But all that being said, I do wish there was a little more. You know, like I wish it was the first. Like Colorado was, you know, six issues. The Hunt was six issues, and there was more within each issue, because we could have explored more, and some of the questions that were still there either could have been answered, or Lemire could have presented more, right? It could have given us more to think about. It's always comics that make me think that I love the best. So, as I said, it's a small nitpick. The first two arcs, Colorado and The Hunt, are great setup. I feel like if you've never read Bloodshot, never read a Bloodshot comic, never read a Valiant comic, aren't familiar with the character at all, you could pick up Bloodshot Reborn 1, Volume 1, and just start reading it, and you would learn everything you need to know within the story relatively quickly, and it's very compelling. And it's very much a character-driven story. There's still some good action, some incredibly bloody scenes by Miko Tsuyen, and some good art by Butch Geist as well. And I don't think you would be disappointed. And so from the perspective of introducing new readers to the characters, Jeff Lemire did a great job of kind of rebooting Bloodshot, if you will, or rebirthing him, right? Bloodshot Reborn. So that brings me to the third arc. The Analog Man. This covers issues 10 to 13. Again, written by Jeff Lemire. The primary artist on this version, or this arc, is Louis LaRosa. And this is kind of jumps ahead many years. We're all of a sudden in the future. Bloodshot is still with magic. And it's kind of a post-apocalyptic world. Think Mad Max, if you will. And again, I don't want to spoil too much. There's a lot of meat here. It's great seeing an older Ninjak, and seeing Bloodshot kind of, you know, he's had a long life and he's been able to be with magic all this time. And so you think at some level, even though it's a post-apocalyptic world and it's certainly not ideal or some utopia or whatever, but at least he's had all these years with magic. At least he's looks like he's tried to have as normal a life as possible. And as it goes along, we discover things aren't exactly what they appear to be. And in the end, it ends up being a little bit of a cliche, which kind of was a letdown for me. But at the same time, I was kind of okay with it, because when you, as a comic writer, when you start defining the future, you know, like if you jump ahead 50 years or 30 years or however long, and you say, okay, definitively in 30 years, this is where this character is going to be. And then when you go back to the present time, now you've become limited, right? So with what you can do, because you know in 30 years that character has to end up right here at this particular spot. So it kind of removes some of the, I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder where the character's going to go or where the character's going to end up, because you already know no matter what happens in between, he's got to end up at this place at this time. So that is resolved. That's not necessarily the case with Bloodshot, even though the story starts out with him at one particular place and one particular time. Because of what happens toward the end of the story, we realize that that's not necessarily where he's going to have to end up. Also, the story that's actually told, this future story that's actually told, is a very interesting one. And even though, again, much like the first arc, not everything is wrapped up with a tight little bow, it does give you a lot to think about, to the point where I didn't get a chance to talk about it with Jeff last time I saw him, but I may have to pick his brain about it the next time I see him, or maybe we'll have him on the show. The next arc is called Bloodshot Island. That runs from issues 14 to 18. Returns Miko Suyan to the art duties for the most part. Jeff Lemire again writing. Issue 18, I should say, is kind of an epilogue. And it's got Thomas Giorello on the art for the most part on that one. So this was probably my favorite arc. It's just really cool. It introduces us to some Bloodshots from another era. And I understand that kind of limits the specialness of Bloodshot. In the first Bloodshot, the first iteration of Valiant, he was kind of a unique individual. We see in this, by meeting these other Bloodshots from different eras, from World War II, from the Gulf War, from Vietnam, and from Bloodshot during the Cold War era, that it kind of takes a little bit away of the uniqueness of the Ray Garrison Bloodshot, but at the same time, it gives more stories to tell, and Lemire does an incredible job of making each one of the Bloodshots unique and making them kind of true to the era they came from, which I really enjoyed. If there's one complaint I do have about it is the antagonist, who is Deathmate, which for those of you familiar with Valiant, again, from the first time around, will be familiar with the name Deathmate. And I like how the new Valiant pays homage to the past by using a lot of these same terms. Deathmate was the name of a crossover that Valiant Comics and Image did on the first go-round. In this iteration, it's a character. I wasn't necessarily too pleased with who the character turns out to be, because I was, you know, in the Valiant universe, dead is dead, and because of who they chose, it made sense, but at the same time, I was like, well, it kind of, I don't know, it wasn't keeping that dead is dead quite as firm as I would have liked it to, right? It kind of, you know, in black and white, where when a character dies in the Valiant universe, you know you're never going to see them again. Something I always cared about. Now, it may have been that this character, you were never really sure they were gone in the first place, but I wanted to think that they were. Not because I didn't like the character, but just because I, you know, it's a little more realistic. So, you know, I'm okay with it in the long run, and it is a cool character. Deathmate as a character is really cool, but I loved the action in the Bloodshot Island story arc. I loved kind of the setup of it. Again, just like the first 9 issues, I would have kind of wanted it to last longer. I think 5 issues was probably enough, but again, because just like the first arc, Miko Suyan art, which is absolutely incredible, I want these big splash pages, right? Because it shows this incredible artwork, incredible detail. But it also means less story, right? Less panels, less character development. So for that reason, I wouldn't have minded it had it lasted, you know, another issue or two. But in the end, Bloodshot Island, just because it was so fun with seeing the other Bloodshots, watching them all work together, seeing the cool powers of the Deathmate character, my favorite of the arcs, Bloodshot Island, was really, really awesome. I wish I could read it again for the first time. That's how good it was. So I definitely recommend Bloodshot Reborn, and I mean, tear through it like I did so you can get to Bloodshot Island. In fact, I just reread the entire Bloodshot Reborn run from issue 1 all the way through Bloodshot Reborn number 0 in preparation for this podcast, and Yeah, it was just as enjoyable the second time around. The other two issues that I mentioned that are in this Bloodshot Reborn run are Bloodshot Reborn Zero and Annual One. Annual One is fun because it gives us some different perspective on some other characters, and we get to see someone besides Jeff Lemire kind of take on this version of Bloodshot. And again, there's a couple of really fun stories in there as well. Really cool story by Ray Fox. Another one that's by Lemire, but that involves kind of the blood squirt version of Bloodshot, which I haven't mentioned here. He's a character that shows up from time to time in the Bloodshot Reborn, and I want to leave it for you readers to discover and you listeners to discover on your own, so I'm not going to talk about it. But yeah, Annual One, definitely worth picking up. And Bloodshot Reborn Zero came out a few months after Bloodshot USA. So just to give you kind of some background, as I said, the Bloodshot Reborn series spins out of the Valiant miniseries and goes through those stories, right? The Colorado arc, the Hunt arc, the Analog Man arc, the Bloodshot Island arc. And then as a consequence of the events that happen in Bloodshot Island, there's another miniseries called Bloodshot USA. Starts over with another number one. It just as Bloodshot USA just as easily could have been Bloodshot Reborn 19, 20, 21, and 22. But it started over with the number one, which it makes sense because you can, if you haven't read Bloodshot Reborn, you can start with Bloodshot USA and you'll pick up right away with everything that's going on. Talk about an action-packed story. Really, really awesome story. So much action. We get some of the other characters from the Valiant Universe brought back into the Bloodshot overall story, I guess you'd say. And so it's really good. Now, the current Bloodshot series that's coming out is Bloodshot Salvation. So in order to get from Bloodshot Reborn to Bloodshot USA, which is a direct kind of sequel, there's nothing really needed, right? Like Bloodshot Reborn 18 flows right into Bloodshot USA number one. But once you finish with Bloodshot USA number four, there kind of needs to be a bridge. There needs to be a story that kind of gives the status quo, kind of, you know, ties everything up, puts all the characters in the right place on the storyboard so that Bloodshot Salvation can pick up and you can kind of understand where everything is at. So that's where Bloodshot Reborn Zero comes in. It kind of ties up and puts everybody in the spot they're supposed to be at, where Lemire needs them in order to pick up with Bloodshot Salvation. So Bloodshot Reborn, it's you know, there's not a lot of action in it. But it's a good issue. There's a lot of character development. It's really a fun issue, and I certainly recommend it. And I want to say, let me double check on who the artist is for Bloodshot Zero, because Bloodshot Reborn Zero, that is, because I can't think of who it is off the top of my head, but let me just pull it up here. Oh, that's right. It's Renato Guedes. So I mentioned that he was one of our, actually the first penciler I mentioned. So he does the art for that issue. It's done really, really well. He handles penciling and the inking. So again, it wraps up kind of the loose ends of Bloodshot USA, gives kind of a recap, and then kind of sets everything up for Bloodshot Salvation going forward. So all in all, I'd say Bloodshot Reborn is very much worth your time, very much worth reading. In the interest of full disclosure, Bloodshot is my favorite Valiant character, but I'm not saying that Bloodshot Reborn, you should read it because I have this bias, I guess you'd say, toward liking Bloodshot, because there have been, despite the fact that Bloodshot is my favorite character in Valiant, there have been some not so great Bloodshot stories that have been told over the years. And as I said, this is Bloodshot Reborn isn't perfect. There are things about it that I wish were different, but overall, I love what Lemire's done with the character. He's made him more relatable and given us more insight into Bloodshot than any previous writer ever has. You know, I've always liked him and kind of pulled for him just because he kind of always reminds me of the old Incredible Hulk miniseries, where it's kind of one man on his own out on the road searching for answers, right? Like Bruce Banner was always searching for a cure. Bloodshot was searching for a cure at one point, searching for who he is. This iteration of Bloodshot searching for who he is at another point. And so it always reminded me of that. And so I think that's why I always kind of had a predilection towards liking his stories. But as I said, Lemire's given us more insight into who he is as a person, but done it in such a way without like revealing too much. You know, like people say that Marvel ruined, some people say that Marvel ruined Wolverine when they finally gave us the origin story. And Lemire hasn't done that. He hasn't let all the cats out of the bag, right? He hasn't given us all the answers. It's not all tied up in a nice, neat package. There's still plenty of questions to be answered. So, and the other thing about the series that I'm still unsure about myself is the introduction of this magic character that Bloodshot has seemed to become attached to. Like, is it a good choice that he's done that? Is it not? Still don't know. Jury's still out on that one, but it's real, right? Like, we all in our lives make choices, and you know, we think we're doing the best thing at the time, but maybe it's not the best thing, and there's no way to ever really know, right? It's not like a choose your own adventure where if you pick one path and go down and it turns out it's not right, you can go back and do something different and you don't have the consequences of that first choice. It's not like that. And so this it makes it a much more a real story, and helps it make the character of Bloodshot more relatable. So really enjoyed Bloodshot Reborn. I definitely recommend it. All the issues are collected in trade, so you can go and pick them up on Amazon or Comixology if you want to get them digitally. I think on Comixology they're all $10 a piece. So the story's out there to be read, and I really recommend that you give it a try. So I want to thank everyone for joining me once again on the Comic Source Podcast. As I said, be sure and tune in to our exclusive podcast, The 9-Panel Grid, over at LRM Online. I'm going to be talking for the next few episodes on there about the new format and the new schedule. So if you want to catch up on and know what's coming up, be sure and tune in over there. Also be sure and follow us on the social media over on Twitter. Just do a search for The Comic Source. Same thing on Facebook and Instagram. And when you're over there checking out the 9-Panel Grid at LRM Online, check out a lot of the other content they have too. There's a great variety of podcasts that cover all kinds of pop culture, from movies, TV shows, both comic book and sci-fi, as well as a lot of great written articles. So once again, I want to thank everyone for joining us. Next episode is going to be our Aftershock Monday, where I'll be talking about the Paul Jenkins series Alters, issues 1-9. So be sure and join me for that tomorrow. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us. I'll talk to you next time.